We know the words of the apostle when he talked about charity suffereth long. Now, it's very, and I think many of us have memorized, that's one chapter of the Bible we do love to memorize. We love to get that into our hearts, and it's a great chapter to memorize. But it's one thing to memorize, it's another thing to live it. Charity suffereth long. That means there are things that are going to irk you, things that rub you the wrong way, things that get you all worked up. But charity, the love of Christ, agape love, the love of Christ is in view here. And if you are a Christ-like Christian, living in the fullness and partakers of that divine nature, you're going to show this love that suffers long.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. Today we're going to be preaching on the Beatitude, Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, as a preacher, the requirement to preach on this is to flip the coin and to recognize that sin causes men to be impure, and that to be made pure is a work of grace. It is the saving power of the gospel at work in the hearts of men. And today I want to read some verses from the book of Jeremiah. There are texts here that will guide us as we look into this subject today. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. A glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. And then a little later on here in this passage, thus saith the Lord unto me, go and stand in the gate of the children of the people, whereby the kings of Judah come in, and by the which they go out, and in all the gates of Jerusalem, and say unto them, hear ye the word of the Lord, ye kings of Judah, and all Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem that enter in by these gates. Thus saith the Lord, take heed to yourselves, and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem. And then I jump to verse 23, but they obeyed not, neither inclined their ear, but made their heart neck stiff, that they might not hear, nor give instruction. And then there is this final little verse I want to give you here, Jeremiah 15 and verse 19. Therefore thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. And if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them. The reason for these verses is that the Lord insists on purity. And that's the beatitude that we're looking at today, where the Lord says, blessed are the pure in spirit. And by the way, that's why Christ came into the world, to be our Savior, to cleanse us from our sins. And by His grace, by His blood, by His salvation, we are made pure, ready for heaven. That's the gospel. I trust you'll stay tuned today as we turn now to the pulpit ministry of our church, as we let the Bible speak on blessed are the pure in spirit. Amen. Thank you, brethren. We're just going to go straight to our message here tonight, and we trust the Lord to be our helper as we come to His precious word this evening. So please turn to Matthew 5 and to this beatitude, Matthew
chapter 5 and verse 8. And it's the number 6 of the Beatitudes. And this is the one we come to this evening. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You can see how these Beatitudes get higher and higher each time. And it goes from the very lowest of the scale, blessed are the poor in spirit, and then it just keeps climbing. They become more and more demanding. And of course, the biggest demand that is made upon any human being is to have a pure heart. And if you are challenged, you know, is this decision you're making coming out of a pure heart? Do you have a pure motive? Is this a godly desire? That's a tough question, because how do you get rid of your own bias and your own prejudice? How do you get rid of all the baggage of who you are and your own way, seeking your own will? So purity of heart is really a difficult thing and a very demanding thing. And we're certainly going to learn that here this evening. And so we bring you to this text. Maybe we should bow in prayer and just plead the Lord's help as we come to preach on this text this evening. Father in heaven, we pray for the blessing of God upon our souls. Oh Lord, we need help from heaven to expound the word. And I pray that this beatitude would become true of us, that we would be that people who are, by God's grace, pure in heart, and that we shall see God. Lord, we do desire thee, and we long that we might know and experience the Lord our God. And so help us tonight to make things clear to our hearts and guide us, we plead and we pray. Amen. Amen. You may have heard through this week about various parts of India. They are having problems with monkeys. And these monkeys are climbing up the poles and they are attacking the wires. And they have initiated a huge project to install fiber optic cables to many cities in India. Now, some areas are so high density, they can't put them underground, and they have to put them above ground. And you might have seen on news and various photos and so on of these monkeys that they climb up these poles ever so quickly, and they chew on the fiber optic cables, and they seem to find them really tasty. Now, they can't get rid of them very easy, because some of them are monastery monkeys. And they are temple monkeys, and so people feed them, and they look upon them as sometimes sacred. And so this is a huge problem for them, how they are going to run the wiring and not have them all chewed up. Now, when you think about the infrastructure that goes into a modern city, and you think of all the piping, wiring, all the connections that are into buildings that go way deep underground into the parkades and into the electric centers right underground, and all the connections that have to be accessed to maintain those things. These things are very intricate, and of course they're very complex. Well, that is like the heart of man. Because the person that you see outwardly, you really only are looking at a tip of the iceberg. You're only looking at the outward portion of the real person. And the inner workings of man, which we will call his heart, that inner processes of the heart with all its complexities, all its emotions, all its motivations and desires, that's what makes the man or the woman. And where the Lord says, blessed are the pure in heart, you can see that the religion of Christianity goes straight to the inner nature of man. It's not enough to be clean on the outside. It's not enough to be seemingly good on the outside. The Lord is interested on the state of your heart. Now, carnal man thinks so differently. People think, well, if you just dress up and look nice and beautiful, put a bit of makeup on, that's for the ladies, of course, and if you dress beautifully and for the men handsomely and be modern and be fashionable, well, you have a nice person. But we know that that is not true. And all the money, all the pleasure, or the material things of this world do not make man happy. Jesus said, blessed, happy, blessed of God are the pure in heart. And so by this beatitude, the Lord exposes the foolish notions of men and he lays down the core issue, the real issue. What are you and I in our hearts? What kind of people are we? And that is to be judged by the heart. Now, of course, I don't see into your heart, and I can't read all your thoughts and desires, and I do not know all your motivations, but the Lord does. Because the Bible says that the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder the very thoughts and intents of the heart. And God knows not just the way you dress, the way you appear outwardly as we see you, but the Lord sees the very inner state, the affairs of your heart. Now in this beatitude we have a number of very, very important things. We see here, firstly, we are alerted that not all men will see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. It is wrong to conclude that eventually, somehow, some way, all men are going to see God and enter into his presence. And we know from this teaching of this Sermon on the Mount, and we need to go no further than these chapters 5, 6, 7 in the Gospel of Matthew. That's the Sermon on the Mount where the Lord Jesus taught his disciples and the crowd that gathered in. We know from this Sermon on the Mount that the Pharisee without conversion would never see God. Now, I don't say a Pharisee could not be converted, because we do know of some. But the Pharisee in his attitude as a Pharisee, in his legalistic attitude as a Pharisee, would never see God. And if you look at chapter 5, verse 20, you'll notice how the Lord put it, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. That must have been a very scary statement. Because in society, the Pharisee was looked upon as the goody-goody, the most good-living, righteous, particular, sophisticated religious man. And many would have considered them as having gotten it all right altogether. But in reality, the Lord pierced right through the veneer of the Pharisee's outer crust, seeing right into his heart, and he was able to call them hypocrites. They were outwardly whitewashed, but inwardly full of corruption. And they would never see God unless they received a new heart. And of course, the hypocrite will never see God because he is only a sham. The hypocrite in the Bible means a play actor. And a play actor, you know, what he, Shakespeare or whatever he's acting out on the stage, his work is to get to know the character. You even get to know his actions, his mannerisms, his tone of voice, and you put on that show. But it's all a show. From he walks on that stage till he walks off again, it's all a drama. That's the hypocrite. And the person who is living like that before God will never see God because their life is but a sham. Then there's the unrepentant sinner will never see God, for all his sin is still clinging to him. And worst of all, his heart is still in love with the ways of sin. You know, you may be driving to church and doing the right thing and walking in through the church door, but really as you drove here, you drove by the casino and you looked in and said, oh boy, I wish I was going there. And the state of your heart is really somewhere else. While outwardly you may appear to be doing something that's good, the unrepentant sinner that hasn't broken off that lifestyle of sin, that hasn't said goodbye to the world and cling to the cross, will never see God. That's the teaching of this part of the Bible. I will go a little step further and I will say, I will take this out of from the text, the principle of this from the text, and say that church membership alone will never enable you to see God. Now, I have to qualify all of that because we're going to be encouraging church membership. We're going to be exhorting people. It's the right thing to do to be a member of a gospel, Bible teaching, preaching, evangelistic church. But if all you have is a membership card and your heart has never been changed, you'll never see God, no matter which church issued you the membership card. Wouldn't matter what religion it is. Wouldn't matter what location it is. If you do not have a new heart, you will never see God. Likewise with baptism. And again, I have to qualify this because we encourage people to be baptized. It's a command. It is something that every true professing Christian should do. But if all that you have is that you were made wet with water and you don't have a new heart to go with it, you will never see God. And you can apply that to the communion cup as well. And all those things that people may do in church life, you can do all of those things. But if you do not have a pure heart, you will never see God. One of the most fearful verses in the Bible is Revelation 21:8, where it talks about the abominable, the fearful, the unbelieving shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of God. They will be cast out. And so the Lord Jesus here, this Sermon on the Mount, very far-reaching, very probing into the very inner recesses of our hearts tonight. We have to accept that he himself taught us, not all men are going to see God. And I need a pure heart if I'm ever going to see God. Also, this beatitude alerts us to man's inner trouble. There's a whole lot of trouble going on inside men's hearts. And this seeing God, I really believe, means enjoying God. I believe it includes one day we'll go to heaven and we'll see God face to face. What a day that will be. And because Christ is risen, we will rise also. We will enter glory and see God in all his beauty. But there's also a sense in which we see God in this world or enjoy God. And without purity of heart, you and I cannot enjoy God's presence. And each time when God came close to man in the Bible, they would run away from him. Like Adam in the Garden of Eden when he ran and hid himself, or others who fell on their faces as dead, because to stand in God's presence was very troublesome to them. You see, it's our sin is the problem, and sin is a great offense to God, and it stirs up awful trouble in our hearts because we know that we're not right with God. In Persia, and we learn this from the story of Queen Esther, that the Persian king lived in isolation. No one could approach the king unless they were called for and unless that sword was held out, that they were granted an audience with the king. If anyone would try to force that, they would be executed immediately. With great fear, people would approach the king. Now, as we would approach the living God, how can we stand in his presence if we do not have a pure heart? And our sin spells death in the presence of a holy God. And we know that heart trouble is the worst kind of trouble. I could have trouble with a leg that's bothering me. Maybe it's an injury or maybe it's a bruise or arthritis or something else that might be bothering me in one of my limbs, and I could otherwise function quite well. Just give me a stick or something to hobble around and I could deal with it. I could have an eye problem, a hearing problem. I could have all kinds of problems in the body. But the thing we cannot live with and the thing that we cannot die with is heart trouble. So you might be asking, what do you mean by heart trouble? What do people deal with whenever they're going through heart troubles? Well, conviction of sin, because we have a conscience. This is one of the proofs that we are made in God's image and created by God, that every one of us has a conscience. And do you know what it means to blush from ear to ear? And someone, I don't know, calls you out, finds out something about you, and it's embarrassing or whatever, and you just blush from ear to ear, and it's written all over you, you're guilty. Conviction. And you can't run from it, you can't hide from it. Sometimes you try to sleep and you can't sleep. It's a disturber of your peace and your living night and day. And there are many, I'm sure, who are driven suicidal because of this conviction of heart. And it's so deep. And the Bible tells us, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And in the conviction department of our hearts, that's true. There is growing in your heart tonight troubles that stem away back from seeds that were sown even in childhood or in earlier years. Wrongs that have never been put right. And the fruit of that is still there doing awful damage. We know that Judas was so troubled in heart after he had betrayed the Lord that he took the money back, threw it on the table and gave it to the scribes and the elders of the city and said that he had betrayed the innocent blood. And he went out and hanged himself. He couldn't live with himself because of that. And we know that Cain, Abel's brother, he cried out after he had slain his brother and he had said, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Why? Because he was guilty. He had killed his brother and he couldn't live with it. And today in our society, many people turn to drugs, to alcohol. There are guilty people who turn to anything that will divert them from the sorrows that they're living with. And we do not know the half of the sorrows that men live with. If we want an extreme example, we may think of that pilot who was flying that aircraft, German wings, into the Alps. What state of mind was he in? What was bothering him that he had to take that aircraft down in that awful manner that he was? And he had seen 5 specialist doctors, and yet the trouble of heart that he had gone through. And we know that all of this trouble, and I say this corporately, not just any particular thing, but all of it is the result of sin, of the fallen, sinful state of man's heart. Jeremiah got it right, that man's heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? And I might be talking about you tonight. Your heart is anything but pure. And this beatitude really puts the pressure on and puts the shining light upon the trouble of your heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And of course, there's that rebellion of heart that many live with and that they play out. Such will never see God. The man who's rebellious in heart to God will never, ever see God because they're blinded to their sin. Thank you again for joining us here on Let the Bible Speak today. This is Ian Gollaher. Well, we have certainly been cutting close to the heart today, but these things are true, and if they've troubled your heart, I advise you to put them right and take them to the Lord. And the point that not all men shall see God, this is something that has to come home to you. Do not presume that everyone will be in heaven. We cannot presume because, well, the Bible tells us that narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. But broad is the road to destruction,
and many go in thereat. So you cannot assume that all men are going to heaven. There are people going to be lost, and you need to make sure that you're not one of them. Now, the Pharisee we mentioned will not be in heaven because his whole religion is just a sham. It's a showpiece. He's putting on a performance, and in reality, his heart is not right with God. And the Lord said to the Pharisees, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of God, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, God says that to us today too. We must cease from our own gimmickry and our own pretense and come to the cross to be saved. We must come as a sinner, broken over our sins, realizing the terror of the law brings us to the point where we are lost, condemned, and in need of salvation. And when we repent, praise God, there is the welcome, there is the invitation and the reception home to be received by grace. And if you come to Christ today, and I mean by that coming to Christ by just getting the Bible, maybe getting a verse like 1 John 1:9, which says, if we confess our sins, that the Lord is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That if you take that verse, 1 John 1:9, pray over it and say, Lord, I'm coming. I am confessing my sins, and I'm asking for your forgiveness, and I'm praying for cleansing in the blood. That is what we mean by coming to Jesus as a sinner, praying, pleading for mercy and salvation. And yes, the Lord will receive you. Praise God. There is every invitation to all who will come, and none will be cast out. That's another great verse, John 6:37. All they that come to me, I will in no wise or for no reason cast out. And so come and believe. Do not remain in your misery. Do not remain guilty. Do not remain condemned. But come and believe the gospel and be gloriously saved. And again, if I can be of personal help, I look forward to being of help to you. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-897-2040. The mailing address is 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.